Hey, this is Rob Stone from Fox Sports. You are listening to the Unused Substitute. Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
good evening, everybody. It's Tuesday night. It's 7:30. It's time to talk about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. This is the Unused Substitute broadcast, podcast, whatever we want to call it these days. You're listening to us live on Radio St. Pete and on Rabble Sports. Dan, I assume you're still there. You were there a minute ago.
Yes, I still am here.
Nice. I like when you don't run away. It's kind of cool. How you been?
Drying out. From a power hour and a hurricane.
Which one caused more damage?
The power hour. Definitely that last week power hour. I got a cup of coffee because I'm still trying to kick the hangover.
We haven't really chatted much since the last show. How did you survive the latest killer storm to drench us with rain?
I didn't have to work, so I survived just fine.
Lose power and all that good stuff too, though?
Briefly for like 10-20 minutes at a time, nothing major.
Nice. Yeah, I was school was canceled for us, so I was off Thursday and Friday. They let us know like during lunchtime on Wednesday that we wouldn't be coming in Thursday, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna stop by Publix, I'm gonna pick up some stuff, we're gonna do like a cookout, have a little hurricane party. And my wife calls like right before I'm getting ready to leave school and says, don't stop anywhere, come straight home. She was already home, and like our street is I don't know if we're one of the few in the area, but we're high ground. Like, we're the last area to evacuate during hurricanes, but everywhere around us is a lot lower. So like, we were fine on our street, but getting to our street was kind of a problem. And I almost didn't make it home. There was one street where the water was up to, I mean, it seemed like from inside my car, almost like up to the top of my tires. There was one area I really shouldn't have driven through, but I made it home, and then I spent the rest of the weekend, Thursday and Friday and the weekend and Monday on the couch having a break. It was nice. Didn't lose power at all, though. Just lost a couple big branches, but that's about it.
Good. That's always, escaping unscathed is always a good thing.
Yeah, it just seems to be the norm. I haven't been killed by a hurricane in quite some time. It wasn't even really that bad. Like I said, we never lost power. I don't even remember there being any real lightning or thunder with it. It was just nonstop rain. It was crazy.
It got pretty stormy up this way, but nothing over dramatic where, you know, panic set in.
Did the patio furniture survive?
It got brought in. I don't remember if I did it that night or the next morning, but it got brought in.
You didn't like stumble and fall through it at some point?
No, it's all intact. I put it back out, I think, on Saturday. I don't remember. But it was in the kitchen for a while.
Well, for some reason, people don't want to listen to us talk about the weather for an hour, and we're trying to do this one kind of quick tonight because we got the U.S. game kicking off in, 25 minutes or so?
Just about, yeah.
I was supposed to be there tonight, too, and I had to cancel kind of, not last minute, but in a week or two ago. I'm mad. I really wanted to go.
I am going to watch the game tonight, but I will probably catch also some flack for this, but I'm not the biggest U.S. national team fan, men's national team fan. So I went to a Gold Cup game in Tampa years ago, but that's I mean, I watch and I watch here or there, but I wouldn't have traveled to Jacksonville for it.
Well, the funny thing, well, there's very few things that make me want to travel to Jacksonville. Like, I'd rather just stay in Florida. But I got the like pop-up. Oh, so, someone tweeted the other day about how, because remember we went last year for the Rowdies game in Jacksonville and they wore those throwback uniforms, the Armada yeah. did. And it was like tweeted out, you know, on this day or whatever. I'm like, oh, this is the weekend I was supposed to be going to Jacksonville. Like it, like that was a year ago. It felt like it was kind of a lot longer. It had been in kind of a cool little bookend to the year to have started and ended in Jacksonville. I mean, not that anything about Jacksonville is good, but, you know.
I don't the coinc- know.
You don't remember.
Yeah, so Jacksonville never happened as far as I'm concerned.
I just remember coming in on the bus, and it honestly looked like a scene from Walking Dead, because the streets were deserted, like the highway was empty, it seemed like all the buildings downtown were closed or whatever, and it was just like a, like, you know, mid-afternoon on Saturday, because we got there in time for the evening game, but it was just desolate up there, which is how I imagine it kind of always is.
I was the Walking Dead that day, so...
Yeah, someone else was the Falling Dead, but we won't make fun of him anymore. all right, but let's stop taking shots at Jacksonville for a few minutes, as opposed to the shots we took in Jacksonville before. And let's talk about the week that was for the Rowdies and the NASL. So, big game last weekend. Rowdies went on the road, where they haven't done well on the road this year. Haven't done well on turf this year either, and went up to Indianapolis, faced the spring champions, one of the top four teams in the league right now, currently in the combined standings. I don't think we made predictions for this one. I did see some of the Indianapolis fans. I think the hashtag they used was predicting domination, because the Indy 11 had won all of their fall home games and the Rowdies had not done well on the road. Rowdies go on top first, Joe Cole free kick, which, hey, we scored a goal off a set piece for once, a free kick.
Well, Justin Chavez scored it, but yeah, it was off the Joe Cole free kick.
And Chavez gets his foot on it after it loops over everybody and puts it in the net first. And kind of got excited for a minute there, because if I remember correctly, the Rowdies were unbeaten this year, undefeated in every game where they've won first. About
scored
five,
first?
Yeah.
Except for the Cosmos. We went up 2-0 and lost that game.
We don't talk about those games. I said if I remember correctly, and I'm old. Yeah, I don't know.
Just wanted to, I mean, I know that's a painful memory that we all try to block out, but yeah, we were up 2-0 in that game.
Before we weren't allowed to do any better afterwards. I'm all thrown off track now. Anyway, so Indy came back and scored like 5 minutes later, it seemed like. Evened it up, and that was it. That was all that there was for that game. The rest of the game played out, but no one else got a goal in the net. And it finished 1-1, which, you know, I could tell from Twitter you weren't particularly pleased about it. It wasn't the result that I wanted, but I'll take a draw on the road the way we've been this year, as opposed to a loss at least.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not pleased because we keep dropping points. We were up 1-0, and again, just couldn't close it out. It's, to me, drop points. I mean, I was just looking at, you know, I know possession doesn't tell the story, but if you're up 1-0 and you have 50, it's almost nearly 60% of possession. You won the duel. It says duels won, aerials, duels won. We had interceptions, offsides, corners, but we pretty much like dominated every aspect of this game.
Step four.
It says total shots. Indy had 13.
And the final score.
And the final score, but
target.
Well, yeah, they had 3 on target and 13 total shots, but they blocked 4 of it. But like, just that game felt a lot worse than the result says. Which, I mean, obviously, then you want it, because we should have won that one. We dominated. And as those commentators pointed out, every 4 minutes that Jackson or Indy played a lot of games in that short period of time, right, and they were tired, and we still didn't cap. I know we're going to Indy. I know we have our road woes, and we should be happy, but we're in a hunt. We're trying to make up ground on Minnesota,
mm-hmm,
and you can't let that happen. I mean, it's just... It's now getting frustrating because it's the story of the season. There, Preciado probably had two or three good chances on his own, but instead of just firing it when he got it, he took like four extra touches to try to cut in to the center of the goal.
Right.
It was just infuriating. We played well, which I will give you that, but the results... we played well but didn't get the result is wearing very, very thin, and I want more and expect more from this team.
Right. Well, let's hop into our good, bad, ugly. What's your good?
We played well. It was also Chavez had a heck of a game, with or without the goal. The goal early helped, but he played all around. Martin Vingard, I think, had a pretty well, other than that tackle, that yellow card early. I think he played well. Joe Cole was Joe Cole. Stefan was good. He was solid. So again, we played well. The players called upon to fill in some spots, like Steph, were good. Chavez is getting minutes and is playing well as well. So, and I think Vingard is finally starting to settle. And I would also just like to say he's a very pretty man.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about him watching the game because, you know, there was kind of a lot of buzz, a lot of hype around him coming in about his experience in Europe and his experience in the Champions League and how good of a player he was and what he was going to bring to it. And I haven't seen, and I don't want to sound like, you know, MLS guy making videos about defensive midfielders complaining that they didn't score any goals, but I just hadn't really seen anything like, you know, the big contributions that we were kind of looking for, kind of expecting. It's obvious that he does like to take a shot from distance, because I think this is the third or fourth game we've seen it, and he's gotten close a couple times. One or two of those to go in would be nice.
I'm not sure. I mean, Chavez would be our defensive midfielder, at least on Saturday.
Right. I was just saying I didn't want to be like, you know, MLS.
Right.
DeJong. Not saying that Vingard's a defensive midfielder, but
I think people miss, I don't know, I don't want to use broad strokes. I think for me, I look at him as the pivot between Chavez and the defense and Joe Cole and the offense. Vingard is the pivot. He's the connection between, which his addition has now, and now that he's settling, is allowing Joe Cole to move up the pitch and score and, you know, connect with Georgie and Avila and whoever's playing on the left side. I totally forgot.
I'm trying to think.
PC.
Yeah,
PC on the left. So it adds you know, a different dynamic to it, which I appreciate, because he can also play a little bit of defense if he's not hacking out people's legs. But he's playing that pivot role, and I will give... And it's not a glorious role, because really all you're doing is passing it left, right, front, back. You know what I mean? He's just kind of that guy there. He's the outlet. And his distribution is sometimes a little shaky, but it's good. He's filling that role for me pretty well. It's easy to look over him because of that, but I think he had a good game on Saturday. I did criticize him, I think, early.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much really I can add to that. I thought, you know, it was great for Chavez to get his, I believe, his first professional goal. And it, man, if you're going to get one, it's a good place to a good guy to have on the other end is have Joe Cole getting you the ball to do it. Because man, it was just that just came out of nowhere. And we've been talking about not getting goals off of free kicks and set pieces and things like that for a while. And it was nice for it to come together on Saturday night.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we'd also combine free kick goals with goals in the run of play.
And more goals and more goals. And
yeah.
So bad?
A tie. It's like kissing your cousin at this. Like, nope. I'm just tired of ties. I'm tired of dropped points. It's I think I said it on Saturday. You know, possession without purpose is the title for the Rowdies 2016 season. And, you know, we're not Barcelona where you can score one goal and then just maintain possession and not give up another goal. We're not there. We need 2-3 goals. And they're not coming. So, again, bad is not finishing chances.
And we're still lacking that kind of ruthless, clinical striker to put the ball in the net, in the back of the net. And, you know, it's, you know, we've spent a lot of money on a lot of things. And the guys that we brought in thinking they were going to be that, Heinemann hasn't proved out yet. Preciado still hasn't, but I think he's got the best chance of the guys we have to be that guy. It just needs to start happening.
Yeah. We have on paper, we're fine, but on the field, on game day, it's just not translating. And that's, I mean, how much is the rest of the league got better, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't score. All these guys are professional soccer players that have been here before, and they know what they're doing. So I just, I'm going gray over it.
Link, is that the crucial missing piece we still have?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is that the missing piece we still have? Is a
striker?
A guy who actually can put the ball in the net?
Yes, definitely. I think everywhere else we're solid, especially if Neil Collins gets healthy. We're deep everywhere else and talented everywhere else, but we still just can't find the back of the net. And Joe Cole's 34-year-old knees that are quote-unquote shot are just not cutting it.
I was going to say,
I should edit that saying.
Than mine, but I'm several years older, but I have not played anything at a professional level.
I meant to say, like, his shot knees can't carry us. He's definitely cutting it, but he can't carry us forever.
Right. My other bad, this is just getting nitpicky now, I think, a little bit, but I was not impressed with Indy's announcers overall.
Especially
30 minutes in when PC gets chopped down and the commentator complains that he's spent as much time on the ground as he has upright all game. So he's been on the ground for approximately 15 minutes at that point.
And legitimately was getting hacked down. I mean, Mr. Perkins here on has also said those announcers were clowns. They were absolutely terrible.
It was like if someone put us doing this show on like a national broadcast doing commentary.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit better. I don't know.
No, I doubt it. But that's why we can say you're bad. If we're saying you're on our level, you're pretty bad.
Yeah. Ugly?
I don't think there was much ugly about that game unless you want to, you know, if I move the ugly from dropped points from bad to ugly, because it might be getting ugly as Minnesota is what, 8 points ahead of us.
Yep. They pulled out a win. OKC was as useless as you could expect them to be, and we did not get the benefit from them. I didn't really have much of anything at all for ugly.
Man of the match.
This is tough. I mean, there was a lot of just good performances, but, you know, I don't know that anyone really stood out from the rest. So I'm going to go with Chavez getting the first professional goal. I'm going to give him the tip this week.
And that is, mostly my thinking, but he also had a solid game all around. He's where he needs to be, adds a little bit of spine to that midfield and is good. So we are in agreement once again.
Nice. It's that hive mind going to work there again.
Yeah, and if you think, guys, we don't talk about Man of the Match before, you know, the podcast. It's all, we're all winging it.
Yeah, just like mostly everything else.
Yeah.
All right, so other results around the league. On Wednesday, Fort Lauderdale hosted Minnesota. They drew 0-0, which is a pretty good result for Fort Lauderdale, I would say, to get that at home against Minnesota. New York hosted Indy. This was Indy's midweek game, 3-0. Over Indy 11, Cosmo struck, I believe, early and often in that one, and had a nice game. So, kind of set us up, made us think we had a nice chance going in there. And I still think we did, and we did okay, not as good as we wanted to, but Ottawa and Edmonton in the Canadian Derby, I guess is what they're trying to pretend it is. On Friday night was another 2-2 draw. Saturday, Fort Lauderdale then hosted the Cosmos, held them. So Fort Lauderdale didn't score a goal all week, but had a pretty good week.
I just don't think Fort Lauderdale, their games don't actually happen because if nobody's there to see it. Because can we go? What was it? It was the Minnesota game where 450 people.
Yeah, and I was double checking the radar. I mean, there wasn't really any effects from the storm, you know, going on down there. They weren't having any, you know, closings or cancellations or anything. Those midweek games are not always great for everyone, but it was really bad for, Fort Lauderdale.
But we have that in the next block, I guess.
But then they pulled like 1,800 on Saturday, which I believe was like 400 over their average so far. So still not a great number, but it's an increase at least.
I guess. I mean, we'll get into that later.
And then the other Saturday game, Carolina hosted Jacksonville. Carolina gets a 1-0 win because if you need a remedy for your ills, Jacksonville usually is the case. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to, I mean, what we drew them twice this year already, and we went up there last year and lost. And other than those, you know, the first two games we beat them, that's pretty much about it.
Well, yeah, Jacksonville's not a remedy for us. Nobody is.
The fall table of irrelevancy, we're still going to talk about it briefly anyway. Fall table, we are now 10th with 12 points, even with Ottawa, 2 points ahead of Jacksonville, 1 point back of Fort Lauderdale in OKC, 3 points behind Carolina. The table that was worth watching that we're still paying attention to. We dropped down to sixth with 28 points. We're level with Fort Lauderdale, and we're gonna play them. What, one more time this year or two more times?
Who? Sorry,
Fort Lauderdale. I know we
did one more time.
Them over here at all? Or that's it.
No, one more time.
That was that one game I missed.
Yeah.
Level with them, 2 points ahead of Miami, 3 points ahead of Oklahoma, 1 point back of Carolina, and thanks to Minnesota's, did they have a game Saturday too? Didn't I put that in there? I think I must.
You didn't put it in there, but
yeah, because Minnesota beat OKC.
Yeah, you forgot to put that in the score roundup. So there's that.
Yeah, so there's that. See, I told you we barely plan any of this out, right? We're now a whopping 8 points back of Minnesota we've got 9 games left, 5 home games, 4 road games, if I remember correctly. Most of them happening inside, even our road games, like we've got one road game this weekend against, Puerto Rico, which is a road trip, but you know, for us, not as far as for some other teams in the league. We still have trips to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Jacksonville. So, you know, of our 4 road games, there are, 3 are inside the state of Florida and 1's not really that far away to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, they're after Puerto Rico, it's pretty much all in state.
I think after that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got our 5 home games. So I know I was looking at Louis, thankfully he's feeling better, tweeted out the Cosmos. They've got a 2-game homestand coming up, and then they've got only 2 of their last 7 are at home afterwards. So if we're going to make up points, maybe home is the place to do it somewhere, please. Maybe.
I mean, can we really afford at this point to, I mean, definitely we cannot drop any points in the remaining home games.
No, I think Minnesota comes here, don't they?
And they play, and they still have to play the Cosmos twice.
Right,
so
we're done with the Cosmos, so that's good. We're done with Indy now, too, aren't we?
I believe so, yeah, because we kicked off the season here, and then we just went there, so Indy's done. I think we're mostly against quote-unquote lower opposition, but, right, you know, we have to get through this road stretch here, and then we got that clogged Wednesday schedule BS coming up as well.
Yeah, Wednesday game, but at least both Wednesday games are at home.
Yes. Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, we got a lot of crap to go through still. One of them is Minnesota, but so that is the one you want to circle, because that is the biggest game right now on our calendar.
Right.
If we're still in it at that point, shruggy emoji. I do honestly fully believe that we are still definitely in this race.
Right.
Minnesota has been the most frustrating and fitful team in the NASL, I believe. And probably more. Oh, we do have a home game. The Indy. Thanks, Jake. Fact checking us like usual. Still have a home game with Indy. Hosted them in spring. Oy vey. This has just seemed like one long, long,
I think
long...
the other Wednesday night game.
You're right. It is Minnesota and Indy.
So do you think it gives us an advantage having home games with them midweek where they've got to travel here?
Probably. And it's going to start cooling off elsewhere.
Oh, God, I hope so.
No, not here. I said elsewhere.
Yeah, but I want it to cool off here, too.
Yeah, okay, wait till December. But it's we can't really, in my opinion, afford to be dropping, A, any points at home, and B, like, against the opposition we have mostly on the road, we shouldn't be dropping points, very many points from here on out.
But is that something we can honestly believe is going to happen, though?
I'm not doing my power hour anymore, so no.
I put up a poll on the website the other day. I'm going to do this, and now that I found a way to stick it out there on the page rather than doing it as a post, it'll be just on there on the webpage. We're going to do like a different weekly poll, trying to come up with something in there.
Oh, I totally forgot this team existed. Jake, coming to the rescue. We also have to go to Edmonton.
Who?
Yeah.
That other
that outlier on the graph. I forget about them all the time.
So we've had 9 votes since I put the poll out there. Some people are still optimistic. 6 people out of the 9 who voted so far believe that the Rowdies will make the playoff. The other 3 are Minnesota fans. if you're going to turn it on, this is the time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no choice. We can't slip anymore. It's a good thing we didn't sign Steven Gerrard.
I love it.
Let's move on to that one and on to the next.
All right, so going over our other news from around the league, I didn't see any resolutions to either the story from last week about the turf in OKC or the racial abuse in Edmonton, other than the league and the team are investigating. I haven't heard anything else happening, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to come out of that. Hopefully both of those get resolved, because those are kind of...
Mostly the racial one. I don't care about the turf. Just burn it down.
Yeah, especially since they couldn't hold Minnesota over the weekend. I don't want anything good happening for them. So between the Fort Lauderdale, like the 455 attendance on Wednesday, then the story, sometime Thursday or Friday, supposedly Ottawa was going to be looking to exit the league at the end of this season. There was, we started getting the general, soccer Twitter's kind of this way to begin with, the general doom and gloom and negative pessimism that the league is collapsing, what with Minnesota heading up to MLS and Ottawa leaving if that story's true, and OKC can't even find a field and no one wants to go watch Fort Lauderdale. I don't know. Is the sky falling?
Pro Rel will save us all.
Fixes everything. When you have Pro Rel, every day is a Friday.
But seriously, I don't know if the sky is falling just yet. We have to see. I would like to see what actually happened. I mean, I write off OKC already. Done. Get out of here. But Ottawa, while several people, Neil Morris, our very own Jake, what is his name? Stewart up there, right? In Ottawa, he's the one that broke that.
Was the Fury blogger guy. Yeah.
The rumors have been swirling, apparently. And, it's interesting to where they would go. I didn't people say like USL didn't want Ottawa or Ottawa didn't want USL or something like that. There was an issue there previously. So that would have to get addressed.
Right.
The Canadian Premier League or whatever the heck that was going to be doesn't exist yet. So where would Ottawa really go?
There's those rumors about the Canadian Pro League starting up, but there's, nothing solid or set in stone for that. Other than, I definitely wouldn't be ready for next season. So unless they were planning on dropping out of NASL and taking a year off, which doesn't seem to be a good idea business-wise, but
I know.
Well, technically one, but I'm not, you know, it doesn't make sense to me.
No. So, I mean, honestly, I'm not sure. I am not going to sit here and say I have a crystal ball where I can tell you the future of NASL. It doesn't look good. It looks pretty shaky. There are positives, right? Like there are positives in somewhere along in this in NASL season. Like Puerto Rico seems to be doing all right as a franchise.
Right.
Miami, I'm not sure how they're doing. I forgot about them, but they're improving on the field and they have money.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville is having its troubles, but you know, it's a second year franchise. Their troubles might not be that bad in the long run. They probably are on more like a little bit more sound financial footing. We have the Deltas coming in next year. There might be more expansion that we don't know about. Who knows? But I doubt it.
I saw one of the guys who guy out in California covers Sacramento Republic, you know, did one of those Twitter polls. And my response, you know, something about, you know, is the NASL in bad shape or something. And I was like, I mean, not as bad off as the Donner Party was, but things definitely don't look great at the moment. But how many times have there been a weekend where everything looked like it was falling apart imminently? And it hasn't happened yet. I don't know what, you know, everything that goes on behind the scenes. This league might be being held together with bubblegum and duct tape, but we'll see. The thing I don't get, and someone else pointed this out too, and you know, a lot of this starts on like MLS Reddit. Like, if you're a fan of soccer, you know, whether your team plays in a certain league or wherever, like, I don't understand. Like, oh, I hope that league falls apart, or I hope, you know, that's not good for the state of soccer in general.
Just liquidate yourself.
But, delete my account.
Yeah, no, like really though, we all know that team in purple down I-4. I don't like their fan base, but I want soccer to be successful in the state, so I want to see their success off the field, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this way it'll keep bleeding over, because I think a successful Orlando franchise, God, this pains me to say, will bleed over, because I'm not driving down I-4 every weekend and spending that money when I have a cheaper and just as good experience right here in St. Pete.
Right.
So I think the more successful you will see that. And we see, and us in our elitism at times get a little cutting off our nose to spite our faces, that there are some Orlando fans that come over and are, you know, and watch the Rowdies as well. And sometimes they show up in Orlando City gear, which is just asinine to me, but I'll take fans. I want butts in the seats and they'll stay. Right. So I don't root against MLS. I don't root against USL. I don't like their model at all. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a single entity minor league system like they're seeming to shape up, but I do want soccer to be successful. And I'm going to throw this out there because I made the joke originally to start the segment. If somebody can give me legitimate reasons how promotion and relegation would save, a team like Fort Lauderdale or OKC, please at me at unsub_Dan. Is it unsub_? I don't even know my own. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Unsub_Dan, and please let me know. And like, I'd maybe rip my mentions at the end of this, but please. I have nothing better to do. I've just had my second cup of coffee since 6 o'clock, so I'll be up all night. Please destroy my mention and give me like legitimate arguments of, instead of the, you know, free enterprise. And if you open up the pyramid, that people are going to come flooding in, because nothing is going to flood people into Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. I know the constant like reason that seems to back up the argument all the time is, well, people are just waiting for it to be, you know, open like Europe or, you know, like South America or these other countries that do it. And then they'll gladly start showing up and putting their money in.
It's not like it's a bat signal that like the pyramid is open pro rel that's going to go off across the American sky and people are going to flock out of their homes to watch soccer.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in South Florida. People down there are not waiting for something to happen. They want to go to events. They don't care about sports necessarily. They want to go to playoff games. They want to go to games where, you know, stars are going to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I grew up in South Florida. I went to zero Dolphins games ever. I went to like one, maybe two Marlins games. I'm trying to remember. And that's been there terrible. That was just because someone gave me tickets for my birthday one time. I used to go to Heat games a lot in their first year when they were terrible, just because me and my dad really liked basketball back then. But that was it. Like, it's, you know, it's not a priority with so much other stuff to do down there. Like, ProRail's not getting people off of South Beach.
No, and it's not going to save the turf in Oklahoma City. Like, people start attacking me for not wanting promotion relegation. I do, but I don't think it's the cure-all for the ills of American soccer. No. And if you can tell me how it would cure NASL's issues right now with OKC and Fort Lauderdale, I would be more than happy to. And if you tell me they'll be demoted, and then that doesn't help, because that exacerbates Fort Lauderdale's problems to me. That would only exacerbate their issue.
That would kill.
Yeah.
Kill a lot of teams in this country. I don't know. Well, you know,
okay.
We've been planning for that special episode coming up. Maybe that'll have to be that episode.
Maybe.
We'll figure out a time to make that work.
So I was going to say, let's move to the next topic before we go down that rabbit hole even further.
So I got one of those Google News alerts that I have it set up to watch for mentions of the Rowdies on other websites and stuff. And popped up an article midweek after the Fort Lauderdale, Minnesota game. And once that had it translated, it mentioned, you know, kind of like the Rowdies were famous for a bit for hiding information at the bottom of press releases about other things. Diego Restrepo, who started out the year as Fort Lauderdale's starting goalkeeper at one point, I don't remember if he was injured or if he just lost his spot to Bruno, who's been having a heck of a run lately.
Wasn't he second string? And then moved during the Open Cup run to first string.
Yeah.
Starter, and then
it seems to me that if I remember someone being injured at some point in there, I'm not sure. But yeah, he started for a while. He was, you know, kind of a key part of their Open Cup run to the quarterfinals. And then kind of dropped down to back to a backup, and then, you know, in the last couple of weeks has not even made the bench for them. Didn't know if there was something, you know, going on, if he was hurt, if he was, you know, out of favor, or what was going on. But the story said that the Rowdies were going to be bringing Restrepo back to Tampa Bay. Kid went to USF, played for the Rowdies for a couple of years, has probably I don't want to say the biggest penalty save, because Atnella's saves in the soccer bowl game were probably more important, because we won the soccer bowl. But he had the key stop on Obafemi Martins from Seattle Sounders in an Open Cup game at Al Lang that preserved the win for us that time. It was a good time. But he was injured for a while, lost his, you know, he was out for a season. I think that's when we had to go and buy Pickens. He left, he went down to South America for a while and made his way back into the U.S. and, was in Fort Lauderdale, and seems to be, the rumor was then that he was coming home, and he's been tweeting today that, you know, his thank yous and best wishes to all the strikers and, you know, players and fans and whatnot. And he was looking forward to a new challenge in a place that he loves. So no one's confirmed it, but he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I fully agree he's coming back. The article that you said and that tweet pretty much. I mean, I don't read Spanish. I just saw Diego Restrepo, Tampa Bay Rowdies, and then that. So, excuse me, I'm 99% certain he will be back, and I think it's a great move. He's a fan favorite amongst many, and I think he, and I'm gonna get shanked in a parking lot for saying this, is a quality number two backup behind Pickens.
Yeah, there'll be some nice competition there. Like, there'll be a legitimate, not to say that Kodak isn't a legitimate number two, but he's never made the field for you know, the Rowdies prime yet. He got a lot of time this year with Rowdies too, which is nice, but I'm assuming he'll bump Glodak down to the third spot. It's a nice option to have. We've been lucky this year. Pickens really hasn't been hurt, hasn't missed the time he did last year.
And that was me knocking on wood because I will stab you in the throat if something happens in Puerto Rico.
Oh, God. Getting stabbed in the throat seems likely to be something that would happen in Puerto Rico, too, actually.
True.
But yeah, that's, you know, if we can make this run and get towards the playoffs, it's nice to have, you know, you've got a guy there in case something happens. And, you know, I don't know anything going forward, but I know what Pickens' contract is up at the end of this year, right?
That's what I hear. I don't think this is a move for that. I don't think so,
but if, you know, worst comes to worst, it's, you know, at least you've got an option there.
Yeah. I mean, that gives you a cushion to a little bit of leverage, I guess, in negotiations and a little bit of fallback if negotiations break down. I am an unabashed Matt Pickens fan. So I don't really, I would much rather keep him here. But I will never argue against Diego Restrepo being between the pipes for us. Or sticks, whatever your reference is for this one. I'm a hockey guy originally, so between the pipes. But so I don't know. It's a good move. I would love having him here. If something were to, God pray, don't happen. If something does happen to Pickens, we will. If this move does happen, we'll be in good hands with Diego. But Pickens is still my number one.
Right. The other thing that it kind of seems like this is probably related to another story about players and staff and whatnot not getting paid in Fort Lauderdale last weekend, allegedly due to some, you know, miscommunication with the banks about the holidays and blah, blah, blah. I guess when this deal is done, everyone will be getting paid again.
For this week. You know, this what this reminds me of, like these buying of players and whatnot through the year. I don't know how much reading you did about Brian Clough and like Derby and Nottingham Forest, or he didn't, but like his team would get going and when they'd start to stumble, he would like, it would be like an HGH injection of new players and talent. And then like it would stop the wobble and then it'd come back. And it's just, it feels like Stu is doing that. Like he's just like, or, you know, we're like, hey, we're wobbling. Let's bring in some new blood to challenge. Let's go. Let's just bring in new blood, and it's just a weird thing that I thought of, because there was another thing, because I made a comment earlier in the year when the Rowdies put out a video about talking about Stewart, and I think it was either Stu himself or Keith Savage said that there's no arguing with Stu, like, you know, he's after at the end, you know, he knows he's right or something. Excuse me. And it just reminded me of a Brian Clough quote as well. The similarities, yeah. Man, as long as he's not drunk, we're in good hands.
the thing I always keep thinking about is that, you know, how was it last year, or at least, you know, it was last year in the past also, or further in the past also, keeping Carolina afloat while they were searching for owners, keeping Atlanta afloat. Like, you know, I, not that I want to be like, oh, you know, don't help other teams out when they need it if you can. But at least this time, instead of just putting money into it, we're actually getting something back in return.
Yeah.
First we got PC and then we got Restrepo, which is, that's a nice little haul to get to have that, have those on your team.
Oh, it definitely. I mean, PC is a huge
life on the turf.
What?
Even if PC just spends half of his life on the turf, according to.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I mean, I especially would, like, just give him a lot of crap for diving when he was with Fort Lauderdale. And I am ready to admit if he's diving here, but he was getting hacked down against Indy. But they're a physical team. They're an aging defense. They're physical, so that's going to happen. So let's move this along because there's a game we're missing.
You want to see Pulisic's first start, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Last other bit of league news. The much maligned, often mocked, One World Sports, put out there a couple days ago that they were, no longer being carried by, Dish TV. Which everyone was like, oh, yeah, another terrible, blow for One World Sports. And yeah, at the time didn't look great. But then a couple days later announced they are now on DirecTV. In high def also, which is key. So that's good. I don't know the numbers, but I know DirecTV has a, you know, a bigger subscriber base than Dish TV or Dish Network, whatever, does. So That's a nice move for them. Gets them back. I still have to use Fubo to watch him because I don't subscribe to DirecTV. But it'll be a heck of a lot easier getting One World Sports games on in the bar for watch parties.
Yeah, that's kind of big for me.
You like that. Now you're ready to switch to DirecTV, aren't you?
No. One day I'll go into the story about DirecTV, but I would be disowned from my family if I ever got DirecTV.
So that's good. Good for them. We've sent many arrows at them. Oh, there's my notification that the game has started. So we'll get through this pretty quick and get everyone off their TVs. So yeah, good for them. It's a nice move for them. Hopefully it'll bring a little stability to the network. And now if they can fix some of their production problems and cricket and crap like that, then we'll be all set.
Yes.
I thought you like already gone and watched the game. And it's...
No, I'm still here. I am still here.
I think that's it. Like, I didn't plan for it to be this short because of the game. It's kind of a short week, kind of a short short thing. Saturday night, we'll have watch parties again. You going to go to Engine Rose?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see where I'm at, where the wind blows. So
I think I'm actually going to be in St. Pete on Friday night at Hofbrau House.
I think I will actually, I probably will go to Engine Rose for the watch party. I had to pay, well, I cracked my phone screen on Thursday of last week, something like that. No, when was I? I cracked my phone screen the week prior and had to shell out the cash to replace it. And then I had to pay cable, rent, and a bunch of other things. So I didn't have the money to go have a few pints and watch the match. So, this week I have no bills to pay because I'm all caught up, and knock on wood, I don't break my GD screen again. So I will be there at the watch party more than likely.
Yeah, I missed last weekend. It was still messy down here on Saturday, so I didn't even try getting out of here because there was still water around my house. But this Saturday I will be down at Shamrock in Sarasota watching the game. And having it's gonna be like my second or third trip there that day because I'm gonna go down there earlier and like around noon. Liverpool's playing. It's the opening of the new Anfield, so it'd be kind of cool to see that. And then I'll go back later for the Rowdies game. So come on out and have some beers with us wherever we are. All right, is that it? Are we done?
That's it. I gotta go watch soccer.
All right. I'll just do the whole wrap up stuff, and then we'll talk to you guys next week.
Deuces.
All right. Thanks to everybody who and I didn't even get a chance to check the Rabble chat room this time, but thanks to you guys, especially Jake, for giving us feeding us the facts on Twitter. Thanks to you guys who were chatting along with us in the Rabble chat room. Like I said, come find us at one of the watch parties and watch and party with us. It'll be a good time. We've still got the scarves and shirts left. We're going to try and sell those for donations to the charity that Tam McKendoweri pointed out a couple weeks ago with the belly flop for babies. We're going to hopefully get to do that at the next home game in 2 weeks. I'm going to go full tailgate for that one, too. I haven't brought the grill or anything out in a while, but I'm going to do it for that. So let us know if you want those. Get on those so we can do something nice for the charity. Make sure you give us a follow on social media. We are Unused Subs Pod on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat. Hell, probably even Tumblr, too. I think that's still out there somewhere. That's kind of it. Thanks to our friends at Shamrock who sponsor our show, and thanks to our friends at Wolfface who provide the awesome music in the beginning. And then it's all downhill once you have to listen to us afterwards. But thanks for doing that anyway, whether you listen live or check it out on the podcast later. If you do check it out in the podcast form, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on what else? Google Play, we're on TuneIn Radio, lots of different places. So if you want to throw us a rating and a review, that'd be nice too. And that's it. We will be back next week, hopefully talking about a Rowdies win this weekend in Puerto Rico and an amazing turn of events that has propelled us up the table, hopefully. All right, guys, have a good week. We'll talk to you next time. See you later. We're out. The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there.
get all around.